Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We got Wolchuk's Top 10 420 coming up here in about 20 minutes. Steve Jones coming up in 1 hour. We'll chat with Steve here on a Football Friday, see what he thinks about the team as they get set to visit the Commanders on Sunday afternoon. Time now to talk some hoop, though. Here's the Chief.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that Friday snoozer. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when the Mavericks get to go toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in basketball without their best player, Luka Doncic. Oh, and by the way, Najee Marshall. And possibly, yes, oh, by the way, P.J. Washington. And you can throw in a Maxi Kleba as well, just for some funsies. So we got questionable for Washington and Kleba. We'll see if those guys play tonight. But the Cavs, I mean, 5-1 in their last six versus the Mavericks. One of the best teams in the sport. They've lost four teams all year.
Wow.
Maybe... I mean, arguably the best team in the league at this point. I don't know how many people are actually thinking they will go all the way with it in the East, but
great regular season team.
Yeah, no doubt about it, dude. No doubt about it. And their offensive firepower is real. And since Luka's gone down, the Mavericks' offensive firepower is not quite that. 106 points per game is what they're averaging. You're going to need 120 to beat this team easily. So how does that happen? I don't know. You're going to need a monster Kyrie, Clay combo. Somebody's going to have to get super, super hot here. And because, I mean, between Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, like those two guys right there, they're going to put some pressure on you. Now, they are going to be without, I believe, their best on-ball defender, which is certainly good news. But they play quite a bit of zone as well. So Isaac Okoro is their best on-ball defender. So that'll make things a little bit easier for Kyrie, but you're going to have to knock down shots because Kenny Atkinson will just be like, all right, let's go zone on this thing, and let's see if these dudes can knock it down. And you just hope they can tonight.
You know, I do feel like they have enough firepower that if they have a great offensive game that they can get things done. But if you're talking about Washington being out, Kleba being out against one of the better offensive teams, you're just going to have to make shots. You know, maybe it's a Jaden Hardy 25-point game or Grimes and Marshall score 20.
Yeah.
You know, you have plenty of guys that can step up. And that's why I'm trying not to hit the panic button too much. As long as Washington doesn't miss too many more games.
I'm with you on that. And Najee with the suspension, I think missing him was big. But, yeah, it's probably going to have to be another Kyrie. I'm putting the team on my back. I'm going for 40-plus. Because I still like Cleveland's been unbelievable this year. Are they a team that I'm still, hey, I think they can actually be Boston in the postseason in the East? No. But, golly, I mean, Evan Mobley, what he's been doing. Obviously, you mentioned Donovan Mitchell. We know. But this is a tough challenge without your horses here for the Mavs.
And a good big. You know, this is a great night for Lively and Gafford to do their thing against Jared Allen. Really good center.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be all hands on deck tonight if you want to beat this basketball team. Man, they were 18th offensively last year, the Cavs were. Now they're number one.
Wow.
So, going to need to bring that O tonight, and hopefully we'll see some shots fall. But I do think, overall, the idea that P.J. Washington is already listed as questionable, that's a good sign, because when I heard sprained knee for P.J., I'm thinking, is this going to be multiple weeks now? Is this another one of our better players that is going to be out for a while? But if he's questionable for even tonight's game, then I think that bodes well for him moving forward here. But I don't know if we can expect to have him tonight.
Yeah, I checked, and they don't have a coach on a leash, so this could be maybe a little bit better tonight.
Did you guys see that? The Doug Christie stuff? The interim coach now in Sacramento that you just lost to?
What Doug Christie stuff?
Doug Christie, the old photos that surfaced
him
from
and the missus
years
let
ago
on the leash.
He's crawling on all fours in public spaces, tied to a leash, and his significant other, wife, or whatever, clearly in dominatrix gear.
I had never seen those videos. You know,
a still shot is all we got. Yeah. If you got the videos, Broadus wants to see him.
We got beat by that guy the other night.
You got to see this photo.
We got beat by the guy on the leash. So, you know, they don't have one on their staff. So
if you just type in Doug Christie on Twitter right now, I guarantee you it'll be one of the first things.
Doug Christie on a leash. I mean, some guys are into that submissive kind of lifestyle.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable, man.
Yeah, some people are into this.
This isn't AI at all?
No. This is like 1990s. A throwback photo.
Why isn't it coming up for me? Do I need to hit the media tab or something like that? I don't know. But
just DM it to him, Wolchuk.
We heard... during their playing career, how like controlling and possessive that she was.
Yeah, very.
You know,
Okay, so this was yeah. We were trying to decide, like, is this Doug Christie's bit or is this his wife's
bit? It might be both of theirs. They might be in their comfort zone. But
did he get in a fight because of her during a game?
She got into a she actually joined the fray.
Like with the Lakers Kings deal? Yeah, that was
Don't think there's any photos of Kenny Atkinson all fours with a leash tied around.
That's about to say, we might be I don't think we're in trouble though. We might be able to win this game. We don't have a coach on a leash.
All right, let's go around the rest of the rim here. We start in Miami with Jimmy Butler last night. This went super viral, and we've heard for at least a month now, Sean's been reporting Jimmy Butler unhappy in Miami, wants to get out of there, doesn't like the way he's being used and all these different things. So after the game last night where he only took 6 shot attempts, he was asked in the presser. This is basically the entirety of his post-game press conference last night. Jimmy Butler, take it away.
Jimmy, how would you describe how you felt about your performance and focus tonight?
I felt great. I feel like I was focused. I feel like I did my job, or what at least my job is now.
When you say what your job is now, we're sort of not used to see you standing in the corner for extended periods like that. Is that a change in the team approach that has cast you that way? And for you to be your best version of yourself, can that be your role and you thrive to the best of your ability?
It can be my role here. But, I mean, that's not what I'm used to being. I haven't been that since, I don't know, my first, second, third year in the league, where I just went out there and played defense. But I competed. I guarded. I tried not to let my man score. But that's what I'm doing now.
Well, Coach was in here saying he wants to get you more on the point and get you more activated. So is that something that you're amenable to? And is that something that might be necessary to get you back closer to the top of your game and your form?
That ain't gonna fix it.
What will fix it? What do you want to see happen to fix it?
I want to see me get my joy back from playing basketball. And wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon. But I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here, you know, off the court. But I want to be back to somewhat dominant. I want to hoop. And I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing that.
Can you get your joy back here on the court?
Probably not.
And that's how the presser went. So,
is this like a two-man interview? Is this what that was all about? Was that his locker?
Sound like just a couple of guys there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like is he
firing questions
at
a presser?
Started making trouble in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
you know, and he's indicated, according to Wendy and Shams, that he's open to playing anywhere other than Miami.
Yeah, yeah,
that's where he's at now.
Okay, well, he doesn't want to go to Charlotte. There's probably a bunch of places we could name here.
Anywhere other than Miami.
And probably Minnesota as well.
Golden State's the favorite.
That would be interesting. You know, I don't know if that is going to make them any better. Do you think at 35 years old, his game has slowed down to a place that the Miami Heat have no other choice but to change his role? Or do you think that his desire to leave has reduced his game to a point where they're just looking for, you know, making the best out of the situation?
I think from the way he paints the picture, it starts with his role starting to be diminished, and then he becomes unhappy. And Pat Riley has kind of lashed out a little bit in the media since the offseason of, like, basically just shut up and play.
Yeah.
And I don't think that has sat well with him either. So all of those things are combined. And, yeah, he's at a point now where on any given night he can look like the old version of himself, but then you're not going to get that version for a while because he just can't bounce back the same way.
Pat Riley is not going to cater to superstars.
No.
And we found that out with LeBron James. It was unbelievable when, you know, we found out the backstory of everything that went into that. But I just wonder if at 35 years old, this is a situation like when Jimmy left Minnesota 5, 6, 7 years or so ago, and he had plenty in the tank, but he had definitely decided, I don't like you guys anymore. I don't want to play for you anymore. So he was kind of protesting it through his performances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're seeing some of that right now.
Oh, he's leaning into just lackadaisical offense. Like, okay, if you just want to put me in the corner, then this is what you're going to get. I'll kind of pout a little bit. But defensively, he's obviously still taking some pride in that.
So, I mean, for a championship team, I would be open-minded to it if, you know, if I have aspirations and we need a guy, especially if you don't have to play him every night to make the playoffs. You know, if you can get him fresh to the playoffs and you have other stars on your team, I think Jimmy Butler could be a huge piece of a chance. Not Golden State, though. Golden State's too far away.
Yeah, and he's, I mean, he's got a player option for next year at almost $53 million. So yeah. If you're trading for him, you have to assume he's going to opt into that. There's no way he's going to opt out of guaranteed $53 million because he ain't touching that. With a new contract.
I feel like you're doing Miami a favor by taking that off their books and allowing them to get a start on a rebuild. If I'm giving them expiring contracts and guys that can't play, but they get to move on, maybe one first-round pick, I think, gets the deal done as far as actual value.
Yeah, well, now you've undercut the team's ability to get the most for you because now you've just thrown the temper tantrum and everybody knows you want to be out of there. So every team's going to be like, well, I mean, this is a ticking time bomb, Miami. If you want to get rid of them, this is the best we got. Like Golden State right now doesn't want to give up on Kuminga. And apparently that's what's holding up Jimmy Butler maybe already having been traded there. Maybe they'll acquiesce as we get closer to the deadline if they feel more desperate. But as it stands right now, why would they just be quick to be like, sure, we'll give you one of our better young pieces that has a little bit of a future here. So I don't know, but that's definitely an interesting situation to monitor as it stands right now.
I definitely don't think
there's
something to be done with the Mavs.
No, I don't.
No, just, financially it makes zero sense.
It's impossible to get there. Really, without giving up somebody that's probably a more impactful player.
Potentially his future teammate, Steph Curry, last night, 30 points, 10 assists, 8 of 8 from downtown.
Oh, it was something. I watched a lot of that game. He banked one in. He banked his seventh one in and called it.
Oh, my gosh,
that's beautiful.
Dude.
Yeah. I can't believe he's still making three-point history. You'd think that he'd have really checked off all the boxes in his career.
Yeah. First time to be perfect with that number of attempts from three. Has the most 30-point games by a guard after turning 35 in NBA history, passes Michael Jordan. You still have LeBron ahead of him, Karl Malone, and one other big that is still ahead of him in that category. But from a guard standpoint, he surpassed Michael Jordan there. Have two more clips to play. Let's play Anthony Edwards here. He's frustrated with the offense there in Minnesota. He's getting double-teamed a bunch. Nobody has respect for anybody else on that team, so they're just double-teaming him. He's forced to pass, but he doesn't like that.
That was a good brand of basketball, but it's not how I want to play, of course. I mean, I'm only 23. I don't want to just be passing the ball all night. You feel me?
Like, you don't want to be my comedy.
Yeah, at all. But the way that they guarded me, I think I have to. So
I was going to say, how hard is it to just stay engaged?
Super hard. I mean, because I'm wired to score the ball.
Do you think that's what teams are trying to do to you, like mentally trying to take you out of the game?
I don't know. I don't. I mean, that might be a part of it, but I know they're just doing it. Yeah. I don't know if like their plan is like let's mentally take them out, but because it don't like take me all the way out of the game, but it definitely frustrates me a little bit. But them doubling me definitely is like, bro, what is going on? Like, so yeah, I be trying to figure it out, man.
I mean, welcome to being a superstar in the NBA. Like, yes, they're not just going to allow you to go one-on-one and dance on all their guys. Like, this is what comes with being one of the best players in the sport. But the line of that's not how I want to play. I'm only 23. I don't want to just be passing the ball.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, the most entertaining interviews in the NBA right now, I don't want to take shots at his game because I think this is more on his teammates and the ability to space the floor and the difference of Karl Anthony Towns and Julius Randle. You know, Randle needs to get the ball and cook where Cat could kind of go stand there. But I do think part of this is that Edwards isn't a true point guard. You know, you want the ball in his hands a lot. He is a great shooter. The mid-range is going to light up at over 50%. But when you put the ball in his hands and a double team's coming and you're like, okay, find the open guy to get your team an easy bucket to make that defense stop playing like that, it's not going to happen. You know, he can turn around and give it to the guy at the 3-point line or make a basic entry pass. But there's not a lot else going on because he's just not a point guard.
No, you're right. I felt like Russell Westbrook was that way when he was in his prime. The same way. Like, I was like, man, Russ is amazing, and he's a triple-double god, it seems like. But as a true point guard, I don't know, is he? Like, Devin Booker had those same problems when they tried to make him a point guard in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it just failed miserably.
And a lot of the guys that are coming up these days, you get the ball in your hands no matter what position you are. You were effectively the point guard. And there's a big range of the playmaking abilities on these guys.
Okay, I know we're short on time, but we got to play this Charles Barkley clip from last night. Keep in mind, this is a Celtics-T-Wolves highlight that's going down. Ernie's trying to get through it, but Barkley's ranting against J.J. Redick and the Lakers.
Was he just talking about folks on TV?
What did he say? He said something about we're the reason people ain't watching this crappy product we got. I said, JJ. Yeah, us. Like, we out there jacking up 103s a night. JJ, I don't know Jason Monroe. I don't know who that is, but JJ, you come for the king, you better not miss. Because I can get you, brother, because I got, remember, I got your Lakers games. You can't hide them flaws they got. You just a dead man walking. They got rid of Frank Vogel, who did a good job. They got rid of Darvin Ham, who did a good job. But you came out there thinking you were going to change things with that same ugly girl you went on the date with.
64-51 was your halftime score. Back to the highlights. Rudy Gobert.
Bro, he came in there thinking, I can make this thing work. Hell, you can.
77.
Put the makeup on that pig.
Man, the Lakers are pigs.
The Lakers stink, man.
Oh, man, okay.
Come on, man.
Tatum, by the way.
Again, all during a Boston T-Wolves highlight package that Ernie was fighting through. Just outstanding stuff. Thank you, Chuck.
Oh, thank you for that rim session, Chief. That was outstanding.
Thank you.
Might hear that on Masterpiece of the Week, I feel like. Determined. Yeah. Okay. In addition to football's finest is coming up at 4:40, then Steve Jones. But top 10 at 4:20 is coming up, old Chuck. Where are you taking it?
Brian, this one's for you. Which foods taste good, both hot and cold?
Oh.
I've got the top 10. 877-881-1053. Which ones are you like, man, I can eat this thing hot or cold. It's delicious. That's next.
Yeah, buddy. Welcome back. It's time for Woolchuck's top 10 at 4:20. Steven Jones coming up in 34 minutes. We'll see if we can get it hammered down who's going to start at quarterback on Sunday. If they don't start Cooper Rush, I think their intentions are made very clear as far as what they would like to happen at the conclusion.
You'd be happy about that, aren't you?
I would be very happy about that, yeah.
I'm trying to find that out, by the way, for you guys. I'm trying. Sean Sharif, right?
Number one. Sean on the did spot. Have a tweet out there that said fans of Trey Lance are going to be very happy. So read into that how you will.
Okay.
Right on. So, Stephen Jones coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll see if we can confirm that. Segment here brought to you by Ciroc Vodka. Please drink responsibly. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankofirm.com. And here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. What are the best foods, hot or cold? They can go both ways here on this
cookies.
Top 10 list. Cookies?
Yeah.
Okay, cookies are a good one.
For me, it's chicken wings and steak.
Hot or cold? Mm-hmm. Gonna gnaw on a cold steak.
Right out of the fridge?
10 out of 10. Yeah, steak right out of the fridge. I freaking love it, dude.
Pizza?
Slice it thin.
Yeah.
Pizza's a big one. Sounds I mean, a nice. Lot of people are loving their pizza. I got that one texting quite a bit. Hit up on Twitter. It'll be high
chicken.
On the list. Chicken will be high on the list, absolutely.
I mean, pre-air fryer, cold pizza wasn't a bad play.
No.
You know, because it's like, what do I want to do? I want to put it in the microwave. It's just going to ruin the crust. Put this in an oven and wait 15 minutes for it. Might overdo it. Might still underdo it.
Mm-hmm.
Air fryer, 3 minutes. Ding.
Yeah, the air fryer's been a game changer for so much. And absolutely to just kind of revive, you know, whether it's pizza, fries, you name it. Some of these things that the microwave just didn't do justice. The air fryer is just taken over. But you're right. I mean, cold pizza, I can go with that. I mean, you prefer all of these foods cold.
Yeah.
You're a cold guy.
Cold guy.
Pop-Tarts from the 469. Some people have never even put the Pop-Tart in the toaster.
I'm one of those people.
Out. They're missing out.
That's kind of room temp.
I'm one of those people. Right out of the foil into the breakfast.
That's fair. I don't know that it's necessarily cold, right? It's either room temp or warmed. So maybe that's kind of a cop out there from the Pop-Tart. No, Pop-Tart doesn't apply here. Doesn't apply.
There you go, Woolchuck.
Brownies, bread being texted in, chocolate cake from the 817.
Okay, I was going to say chocolate milk because you get it cold or you make hot chocolate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
it's a good call.
Chocolate in general will be on the list. The Chicken Express chicken tendies from the 682.
Yeah, yeah, that's beautiful.
Bacon from the 903.
I mean, room temp bacon. I mean, even cold bacon. I'd be down for cold bacon. Yes. Cold bacon mustard sandwich?
Rubbery cold bacon? Because
when they put bacon on a salad and it's chopped, it gets a little cold. Yeah. It's not bad.
That's crisp. That's extra crisp. But if you make bacon and you have it and it's kind of like it's not crisp and it's kind of that rubbery.
That's
and
what you
eat
want.
That cold.
Yeah, that's good
you're
stuff.
You're straight fat that way?
He likes it like that. It's stringy.
Wow. I like it just a little undercooked. I do.
And cold.
It's a big topic of debate in the house.
And cold?
This might be one of the most debated topics you've said. I mean, Eric's looking at you like you're a little crazy.
I mean, I love a good crunch on my bacon. Call me crazy.
I like the smoked applewood bacon. You know, I don't know. I think a Wright makes it.
But you like it a little rubbery.
I do. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't mind a little crispiness, but but once it's so like crispy that if you shake it, it breaks in half. Oh, we're so done. I'm out on that. I want nothing to do with that bacon.
Okay, 469. The company themselves said Pop-Tarts can be eaten frozen out of the freezer. Because my only pushback is who's putting Pop-Tarts in the freezer? I've never done that.
But I've seen people put bread in the refrigerator for freshness. Okay.
972, I've done that just to keep it holding or else.
So maybe a Pop-Tart's the same way.
Could be. 972, my wife loves Pop-Tarts out of the freezer. I've never tried this.
Yeah, but a Pop-Tart could live in your pantry for the next 20 years and you wouldn't know the difference when you crack that bad boy open.
I stand corrected.
Twinkie in the freezer?
No, just a Twinkie.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one of those things that can live forever.
Absolutely.
Well, they did. I mean, they had Zombieland, man. They survived.
Oh, did they?
Lucius, the hot, the cold, the bait. Yeah, where are you at with your bacon?
Oh, bacon?
Yeah, I mean, do you think Dawson's onto something with a little bit of undercooked bacon?
Cold.
I don't know, man.
It's got to be crispy.
Yeah, I guess. I don't care. As long as it's not burnt.
Okay, just not burnt bacon.
Yeah, as long as it's not burnt or raw.
I'm not
doing the raw.
Hummus. I like some hummus that's kind of cold.
Okay.
And you can eat it hot, too.
Yes, you can. Mm-hmm. That's a good call.
Some shrimps.
Shrimp,
Shrimp. Hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs is a good one. Blah. I know you're not into that, Brian, but hey, I had some hard-boiled eggs today. Doing well so far, boys. You haven't smelled it yet.
You haven't dropped any bombs on us.
Nope, well, you sure have.
Still got plenty of time.
Got some time left. All right, let's get to the honorable mentions here. Cheesecake is an honorable mention.
You know what? Let me tell you what.
Give
cheesecake,
me that cold, bro.
Warm, I prefer cold.
Yeah, cheesecake warm, not good.
I'm not that into warm cheesecake either, but I guess some people out there like it. Donuts, hot or cold, from the 469.
I've never had a cold donut.
I don't know.
Room temp, for sure.
I've had a cold donut. Yeah, I definitely
put them
in
the fridge to keep them fresh.
Yeah, I've done that.
You know, they're bad within 48 hours after you bring them back to the house. Something.
Do they even have a chance to make it 48 hours in your house?
If the order's big enough.
48 seconds.
If you get about 100 donuts, maybe you got a chance to make it to the next
Abby,
day.
Give me that bag of donuts over there. What are you doing?
My parents brought home a box of donuts. This must have been Tuesday morning or something up there. And, man, I just. It was debaucherous.
Did Gabby just.
It was game over.
Hover give over the donuts. Box and just like, mom's telling stories. And
yeah,
just,
did Gabby do that?
Gabby. I said Gabby.
Yeah.
Gabby.
Oh, okay. Gabby. I mean, they were the oversized ones, too, so I would cut them in, like, quarters and just take a little
Gabby.
Bit.
Yeah, I think I said
I just need a little bit of this.
Yeah.
5 minutes later, another little bit.
You're like Parcells. I saw Parcells. We used to have, like, Grandy's. Used to do the buffet for
those rolls.
Good. The cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Parcells would cut one in half, and, like, he'd get the rest of his suit. He'd eat the half cinnamon roll on the walk and then circle back to get the other half that he cut.
It's a veteran move.
Yeah, he would just
leave it like, I'm going to try and cut my calories here. And he's like, oh, damn, I can't do it.
Yeah, who hasn't done that?
It sounds like a good idea when you're cutting it.
No, what if you're
have
like,
some discipline here.
What if you're behind him and he cuts half a sweet roll and leaves it there for you to like make a determination?
Sounds like you guys knew how to handle it.
Yeah.
We did.
We grabbed the other sweet rolls and left the other half for him.
I would have loved
we
to
know
see.
He was like, going to be a big old ship in the night, turn around and come get it. Yeah,
maybe somebody
post game show, man.
Like, what would his reaction be if somebody had taken that half?
I'll tell you what, man. Mike Holmgren one time almost lost it on me. I took the last scoop of potatoes one time. Holy S! You would have thought he's looking at me like, "What the boop, 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 going on here? What are we?" Boop, boop, boop. And I'm just like, and I was trying to like scrape the potatoes here. Back in. I'm like, I'm sorry, coach. Yeah, he's like, "God, take
That's
the damn
awesome.
Potatoes." I'm like, coach, I'm really here. Take them. Just take them. Gosh, just take, you know. I'm like, coach, I'm saying, he's just, go get them, Brian. Just go.
Just get them now. They're yours.
And I went back to my office. I had this plate of food, and I'm like, looking at my potatoes. I can't even eat them.
You can't get
them.
Those aren't going to taste good.
Every time I saw Mike, I'm kind of like, didn't even make eye contact.
Was it a good old mash?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have people bring in these meals for the coaches and stuff. So my big ass in scouting would go over there and grab a meal.
You were on scholarship.
And like, so that's the problem. I'm over there eating coach's food, and I'm taking the last scoop.
He was not.
You thought, man, just imagine. Yeah, no, it was bad.
Young,
man.
Confident brought us thinking, oh, yeah,
young, hungry.
Oh, look, yeah, look. Oh, potatoes and gravy. Yeah. And I'm literally trying to scrape them
mashed
back
potatoes,
into
the sweet potatoes, a little bit of green beans. That's the bus, man. That's the bus. Pie, apple pie is honorable mention. We also
cold?
Got, yeah.
Good item.
Cold or warm. Sushi, honorable mention as well.
Warm sushi.
Well, you get the fried rolls.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Which one? Some of those come out. Some of those things come out.
Some of them are like deep fried.
Oh, the tempura?
Yeah, and they're like totally fried.
Sounds like my kind of sushi.
Yeah, you might be into
that.
Put
a shrimp in there. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Yeah, you might be into that.
I was watching that recipe when you came in today, Dawson, how to make good tempura.
Tempura, that tempura batter is delicious. Mm-hmm. Tennis spaghetti, good hot or cold.
Yeah, I do like a cold pasta.
I can go with some cold pasta.
Even though it's best to just take the time to put a little.
Your mom's baked ziti was pretty good.
I had so much FOMO.
It was 10 out of 10 with that ziti.
Oh, my gosh.
She brought it strong, man. She really did.
That was quality.
She still got her fastball working.
Yep. 9 is ribs.
Oh, yes, dude.
I can go with a cold rib.
Yes.
Cold ribs.
The pork ones.
Yeah,
pork ribs.
Yeah, not the beef. Needs to be reheated.
Yeah, but
8 is Chinese food. You can't really do the rice, though.
Yeah,
you can. You make fried rice out of it. The
noodles,
next day,
like lo mein,
a little oil in there in a frying pan.
Yeah, there you go, yeah. Dawson.
See, that's how you do the next day spaghetti or something like that.
You do make some fried rice out of day old rice.
Yes, absolutely.
Liven it up a little bit.
Bingo.
7 is meatloaf.
That's a big yes. That on a meatloaf sandwich. Cold. Yes.
6 is the eggs. Lucius nailed that with hard boiled eggs.
Oh God.
5 is chocolate, which works for what you said: the chocolate milk and the hot chocolate. Good hot or cold. 4 is fried chicken.
Bingo.
3 is the shrimp. Another one Lucius hit there.
Yeah.
2
But you're not taking the fried shrimp and eating it cold, right? This is like the cold shrimp cocktail.
Yes.
That's how it's prepared. Okay.
2 would be sandwiches.
I think fried shrimp cold is like soggy.
It is.
Too soggy.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, you got to eat that.
The sandwiches at 2.
Which sandwich? Like Jimmy John's sandwich?
Yeah, because you could do like, let's say a turkey sandwich, but I could go ahead and heat that
wrap
thing
that
up,
bad boy
toast
up.
Toast it.
Yeah. It's also be good cold.
Yeah. Quiznos.
Let me see. Is a Philly cheesesteak good cold?
I don't know. I don't know. Lasted that long with me, and I've always heated them back up.
Man, I got to think that's a no.
Yeah, I'd probably say no. Philly cheesesteak wouldn't work for me either.
Like the peppers and the cheese, it would get kind of rubbery if it got cold. I don't know if I'd do that.
You're just so anti-rubbery stuff.
Do you like texture of like rubbery like food? Do you like the rubbery?
Well, it doesn't bother me like a hard-boiled egg. Doesn't bother me at all. Like the idea of the Philly cheese in this scenario.
The fact that you're raking out the center of the hard-boiled egg is even more disgusting.
The yolk?
I know, 4-6-9. I'm sorry.
The hard-boiled egg. You take out that center thing.
Yeah, the yolk.
You throw the white thing away?
No, I'm eating the whole deal, man.
Yeah.
Ugh.
You're eating all of
that's
it.
That's a one bite. I'm throwing hard-boiled eggs in my mouth.
If he throws anything away, that's offensive.
I could see
outside of the filling to the devil's eggs.
Once again, like Dawson hovering around the donut box. Oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, hard-boiled eggs.
Tempura, 4-6-9. I'm sorry that I said tempura. I know.
Oh, please.
One is pizza, though. One is pizza is the best food, hot or cold.
Let's be nicer this year, huh? Everybody?
Well, thank you, Wolchuck. Another top 10.
I say things strange. I'm sorry.
In the books. We knew what you're talking about.
I got a weird accent.
We'll have Stephen Jones coming up at 5 o'clock here on 105.3 The Fan. Again, the report from Sharif, Trey Lance fans are going to be happy. Does that mean he's starting?
We'll see. We're trying.
Football's finest coming up next, though, Chief. Where are we heading?
Among other things, it's just worse and worse by the second for the Bears. That's next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Nearing the end of the first half at the Serve Pro First Responders Bowl just up the street, Texas State leading UNT 16-14. Had a hell of a flyover before the game started. 4 fighter jets came screaming across Central here at what was that, about 257 or something like that? It was a sound I'd never heard.
Yeah,
you know, here, and it was quite impressive. Anyway, Stephen Jones is coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll pick his brain about Cowboys topics ahead of Sunday's game against Washington. Time now for an edition of the finest. Here's the Chief.
Let's start by wishing a huge congratulations to old Bailey Zappi. He's going to be making the start for the Browns this weekend. And what number quarterback do you think this is? Since 1999, how many starting quarterbacks now with Bailey Zappi? It's Zappi hour, ladies and gentlemen.
This has to be a 69.
Let me see here.
Maybe a 68. Maybe. I'll give you that.
You're desperate for it to be that. Well, we're going to need, we'll probably only need about another 3 or 4 years to reach 69. Did you say 15?
15.
Since we're talking about since 1999. For the Browns.
I was trying to keep all the nameplates on the back of that jersey.
Yeah.
There's somebody that for every quarterback that started,
They throw the last name on it.
They throw the last name on it.
Oh, so Zappe, is that completing the alphabet?
Zappe is going to be number 40. The 40th starting quarterback for the Browns since 1990.
Since Tim Couch?
Bro. Yeah, I think that's where it begins.
Couch.
It begins with Couch.
I was trying to think of all the names.
Denver, Wynn, Peterson, Holcomb, Garcia, McCown, Dilfer, Fry. I can't even read that one. Dorsey, Quinn, Gradkowski, McCoy, DeLome, Wallace, Whedon, Lewis, Campbell, Hoyer, Manziel, Shaw, McCown, Davis, Griffin, Kessler, Kaiser, Hogan, Taylor, Mayfield, Keenum, Mullins, Brissett, Thompson, Robinson, Walker, Flacco, Driscoll. And now Zappe Hour.
Was there a Hogan in there?
There was a Hogan.
There might have been a Hogan in there. Yeah, there have been players that have been good elsewhere.
Yeah.
There's no more
Baker
clear
Mayfield's
evidence.
I'm still laughing.
Yeah. I'm still laughing that Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold were on the Carolina Panthers 2 years ago.
Baker Mayfield was photoed being a scout team defensive player.
He was
playing edge rusher at practice for the Panthers 2 years ago.
It's incredible, and I love seeing like players I won't let be forgotten in Jeff Garcia in that Cleveland Browns uniform.
Yeah. He was a good player.
Yeah. That's stunning to think that he played for the Browns.
I don't think you could try to find like 20 worst quarterbacks throughout the history if you had been on a mission to be
bad.
Hey, I know, let's get the worst quarterbacks.
You didn't know the 3 years I was in Dallas.
Whew. Yeah, that was a bad run.
God, it was a bad run.
I mean, imagine that, but for three decades. And then
they've had a bad run, yeah.
Maybe not any baseball players, though.
Cleveland is now an 18-point underdog versus Baltimore. And just to give you some context to that, in their 0-16 season,
Zappe Hour,
the Browns were never more than a 13.5-point dog. So thank you, Paul Hembo, for that one.
Are we sure about that, by the way?
Yeah, it's Paul Hembo, dude. He's not a ball sacker. That's a tried and true journalist right there.
Paul Hembo?
Yeah. Hembo Slice. What are you not understanding?
Come on, he's the Hembo.
He's one of the great ones.
Is he?
He's one of the all-time analytics.
Who's he with?
ESPN.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Watchdog and Hembo, man. That guy.
I was just checking you.
I see this from Doug Clawson.
Okay, this guy's not
from
real.
Where?
Jimmy's brother.
He covers the Lions. This is an interesting one here.
And does he cover the Lions?
The Lions have allowed 7.4 yards per play in the month of December.
It's been
now
bad.
Their defense, of course. I mean, they're basically playing all backups at this point.
Yeah,
so you feel for them. This isn't an indictment on them, but it does just have to give you a little truth serum going into the postseason about what they can actually do if this is the standard. 7.4 yards per play in the month of December. That's the most yards per play allowed in any December by any team in the Super Bowl era. 1,738 out of 107,000 or 1,738 teams. Just crazy.
What were the numbers?
1,738.
Wow.
So they rank last in NFL history
in yards per play defensively in the month of December going into the postseason.
Wow.
We've never seen a defense give up this much yards per play. And that's a team that's obviously trying to be a Super Bowl winner.
Super Bowl pick.
It's going to be
tough.
They
need turnovers.
Oh,
it's got to be like the Saints in 2009 or whenever
they need
that was.
35 points per game, probably.
Or Ben Johnson call plays out of his rear.
Okay.
The lateral plays. Yeah. And he'll do it.
I'm glad you brought up
Very
Ben
creative.
Johnson. Yeah. Okay, I would like to take you to Jacksonville, all right?
I live there.
Rarely does anybody just volunteer themselves to Jacksonville,
Duval.
So I apologize. But,
not a bad place to live.
We got to take a trip there because does the name Greg Huntington mean anything to you, Broadus?
Was he an offensive lineman?
He was for the Jags during some of those Brunel years. All
okay.
Right.
Oh, God, what year was he? 90. Because I was there in 98.
I don't know his years. I'm sorry about that. But that's not the point. All right. The point is Greg Huntington has quite the relationship with former Jags quarterback Mark Brunel.
He's on staff.
Who's on staff with the Lions. Oh, yes. He's the quarterback's coach. So this guy Huntington is on the radio in Jacksonville talking about how he talks with Mark Brunel all the time, who is with Ben Johnson all the time. And listen to this. Cover your ears, Bears fans.
And, you know, the reason I reached out to you the other day to have you have me come on your show is the connection that I do have with Mark Brunel.
Sure.
And we stay in contact. We text and we call. And after Detroit destroyed the Jaguars, I texted Mark. I said, move heaven and earth to convince Ben Johnson to take this job if it becomes available.
Yeah.
And then we talked. I mean, we actually talked on the phone together. And he said, look, Ben Johnson wants that job.
Mm-hmm.
He likes the idea of Trevor Lawrence. And, of course, if Ben were to come, Mark's going to follow. They're very close. I mean, he's his offensive coordinator. He would be the quarterback's coach here in Jacksonville for Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
You know who the wide receiver coach is? Keenan McCardell, who also played with Mark Brunell in Jacksonville.
Oh, wow.
So maybe Keenan McCardell goes over there as well.
He was a coach one time in Jacksonville, I believe.
Yeah, and so now he goes back maybe as an offensive coordinator for Brunell. Who knows if he moves up for and Ben Johnson. Like, he's taking the whole crew there.
Could be, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how Mark Brunell feels about this with just being outed like that. Like, I don't know if Mark Brunell felt fair. Like this, yeah, was this like
guy
in
played, this guy played when I was assistant pro personnel director. This guy played for us.
Okay.
In 98.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg Huntington.
So I don't know. Ben Johnson wanting the Jags job. I don't know. I mean, I've been wondering if with the contract and the level of play from Trevor Lawrence, if that's no longer considered an asset. But if you're Ben Johnson, you might look at Trevor Lawrence like, geez, I can do a lot with this guy.
What he's looking at is he can probably get his own general manager in there is what he's looking at.
Yeah, bye-bye Bulky.
Yeah. I mean, my buddy John Dorsey, who I worked with in Green Bay, who traded up for Mahomes, mm-hmm. he's at Detroit and working as a senior player personnel guy.
There you go. Ben Johnson just taking all his Detroit guys.
He might take a guy like John along to be the general manager for him.
Ben's a guy that understands it's an entire program that's going to contribute to winning, and he wants control of everything. Yeah. I bet, you know, the owner situation in Jacksonville is great with Khan, you know, being an international guy isn't going to want to meddle in football stuff as much as maybe a guy that grew up as a huge football fan and thinks he knows what it takes. And also, this guy has massive pockets. And if Ben Johnson wants the $20 million deal, it's a guy who's not afraid to throw cash at it.
Yeah, they went after, they went after Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Paid Urban Meyer a lot of money.
They did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess if you're looking at the sell for Ben Johnson to the Jags, obviously he probably looks at Trevor Lawrence in a way that maybe we all don't right now. He probably sees him as a guy that he can get a ton out of. But then also, you're in the AFC South.
Right, that's winnable division.
That's as winnable of a division as there ever is.
They just swung and missed on a quarterback, potentially. Houston's come back down to earth a little bit. Tennessee has no quarterback.
Awful.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that would make some sense. Now, you are in the AFC, and you got to go through the Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow gauntlet. That's no joke.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and obviously everybody's tied Ben Johnson to the Bears quite a bit, and Bears fans want him. Just what a sad existence for the Bears if Ben Johnson doesn't want you. But I also wonder if Ben Johnson's like, I don't really want to be in the same division as Campbell and the Lions. I don't know if that's a factor at all. But, you know, it's all is not lost, though, for the Bears, because with 607 passing yards on Sunday, Caleb Williams could become the first quarterback in Bears history to throw for 4,000 yards in a season. So, wow. I mean, 607 yards, that's all it's going to take.
Okay, light it up. Man, go for it.
One more, man. Yeah. One more for the big one.
Give him a shot.
There's your football's finest.
Thank you, Chief. And now we are on to Stephen Jones. Joins us for what is going to be his final interview with us of this disappointing 2024 regular season. But what does the final game have in store? And what can he tell us about the offseason that's now right around the corner that's coming up next in the nation?